When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Drawn 3 with Grixis Storm.
Next on Eternal Dirtles.
Hey, I just want to give a quick shout out to all of our Patreon supporters out there. Thank you to the Dirtle Maniacs. If you want to be a Dirtle Maniac, go to patreon.com/EternalDirtles and help support the channel. It keeps things going. It keeps things updated. Thanks so much for watching. On with the show.
Hello and welcome to Eternal Dirtles. I'm your host, Zach Clark, and with me this week, because Phil is out for a month and a half, we have Preslov, a.k.a. Build or Burn, of MTGO fame. Preslov, you have a pretty exciting deck for us to talk about today.
Yes, Zach. Hi. Nice. Thank you very much for having me here, and I'd like to talk to you today about Grixis Jewel, a.k.a. the Coveted Jewel.
Yeah. Now this is not a deck of your own design. You were saying that that someone we all know and love on the podcast is the deck designer, actually.
Absolutely. I'm a big fan of giving props where they're due, and this started out as a Tony Scaponi brew, and Tony is to this day basically the main engine behind the deck, with a couple other of us on the Storm Discord innovating in our own small ways, but Tony is definitely the man.
Eternal Dirtles is sponsored by Tales of Adventure. You can go to toamagic.com, use the code Dirtles for 5% off your order, and you're going to get that whole order in one package. No more waiting for 5 or 6 or 12 packages to show up at your door so that you can finish your deck. toamagic.com, code Dirtles for 5% off, and you'll be directly supporting the show. Awesome. Yeah, and we'll have Tony on for Black Saga Storm in a couple of days, so this is a great sort of preamble to that as well. This is Storm Week.
Fantastic. The best week, really.
and one of the reasons that I wanted to talk about this deck is because this is relatively new on the scene as far as Legacy decks are concerned. You know, maybe like 6-7 months. But possibly longer than that, but it's a deck that's has been popping up a lot more on Modo, and you just 5-0'd just recently with it.
I just 5-0'd with my latest innovation on the Grixis Fetchland version of the deck. It's important to note that there's maybe 4 or 5 different versions of the deck out there at the moment. There's mono blue with Saga, there's mono blue with the depletion land, Suppress and Scary. There's multicolor versions like mine with the Fetchland mana base and the Surveillance. Surveillance are huge for this deck. They're awesome. There's also a Grixis version that runs depletion lands as well. And then there's another Storm Discord user, Chestnut, running Seat of the Synod version that relies on Displacer Kitten. But I think maybe we should jump into the deck list to give the listeners a bit of an overview about what the deck does and how it kind of operates.
Yeah, and just for everyone's knowledge, we will have the link below for Moxfield for the deck, so you can check out the deck on Moxfield, and we'll have all of Preslov's links below as well.
Awesome.
So let's talk about this deck.
I'll jump right into it. So I reside in Germany right now, and we have the Reinheitsgebot, which determines what ingredients go into beer. It's malt, yeast, hops, and water, 4 ingredients. And the jewel is also contains basically 4 ingredients to make the deck work. It contains card advantage, mana advantage, stack superiority, and time life total are kind of the 4 pillars that you need to get things going. Card advantage, very obviously, Coveted Jewel itself, the One Ring, Relic of Sauron. My version also runs Fable of the Mirror Breaker, which adds to it. Mana advantage, clearly the Petals, the Monoliths, the full 8 soul lands for Ancient Tomb for City of Traitors. Stack superiority, that's going to be Force of Will in the main deck. And time and life total, that's basically the One Ring. And to a lesser extent, Fable of the Mirror Breaker, because it speeds you up, so it gives you time, kind of in the reverse. And Chaos Defiler can buy a lot of time.
I see. So when you're talking about stack superiority, you're talking about counter magic, ways to protect your combo.
Well, in the main deck, it's going to be Counter Magic, yes. Out of the sideboard in my current version, we are on Defense Grid, because that's just the best way to combat Delver. Delver is a rough matchup in general, so I was very happy to beat it twice in a row today. One of them was on stream. It felt awesome, and Defense Grid is definitely a big part of that. Basically, what you're trying to do in the Delver matchup specifically is bully their Counter Magic. So you try to start on Grids, and then move up to Fable, move up to Ring, eventually move on to Jewel. It's always tough because basically I just mentioned the four categories that the deck operates on, and Delver is really good at attacking all of them, essentially. Yeah. So it takes some really specific things like Defense Grid to operate well against them.
Eternal Dirtles is proud to be sponsored by Moxfield.com. Moxfield is the best deck building website on the internet. You can find all of my and Phil's decks in links below, including decks from this episode. And if you do, you'll be directly supporting the channel. So let's talk about the deck's plan, because we understand that it's a storm deck, obviously, but what is the deck actually trying to pull off?
Great question. Obviously, when you look at the deck list, it might not be obvious, but the end game of the Jewel deck is establishing Emrakul forever. You take infinite turns, you loop your Emrakul. Essentially, there's nothing that can stop you at that point. Doesn't really matter what the opponent has done up to that point. Once you have the loop established, which is casting Emrakul, just 15 mana, cast that thing, copying it with Phyrexian Metamorph. Then you let the original die. Important, because the Metamorph copy does not trigger from the graveyard, so it won't shuffle into the deck. You go into your extra turn with your Emrakul. You attack them. If they don't concede, you do it again. To get to that point, there's a couple of things that are important to get along the way. Obviously, you want to start with the Grim Monolith. So basically, every hand that can turn one a Monolith is way better than anything else in the deck. From there, you have a couple of paths to the Jewel. Either you can establish a Ring, and the Ring is going to draw you into the Jewel. Or you can transmute artifacts, sacrificing your Grim Monolith to get the Jewel. Transmute Artifact is the bad Tinker, but guess what? Tinker is banned in Legacy, so we're going to play. Then we get four of
them.
So once you have Jewel, you do have to jump through a couple more hoops. It's important to manage the board state at that point or just win straight away, because obviously if you let your opponent untap and attack you, you can't block, they get the Jewel, you're really screwed from that
point. That's very bad, yeah.
So once you have the Jewel...
So question about the Jewel and the Transmute Artifact. Let's say you can't pay for the extra mana for the Jewel. You still get those draw three, huh?
No, that's not
no,
how
you
that
do not.
Works.
Okay.
So basically what you need is, let's just construct a scenario real quick here. You start on Ancient Tomb, turn one. You land Grim Monolith. Turn two, you'll need blue land and a petal, and then you can transmute the Monolith into a Jewel. Because the Monolith taps for three, costs two, and you need two extra mana. But you do the double blue. And double blue is kind of rough to get at some point in some situations, but most of the time you get there. So once you land the Jewel, you can copy it with any of our currently eight copy effects, though there is a new card that's kind of exciting. We can talk about that later, maybe. But copy Artifact and Phyrexian Metamorph, copy the Jewel, do it again, and keep doing this until you find a Transmute Artifact. Transmute Artifact can either get another Jewel, a Phyrexian Metamorph to copy a Jewel, or just jump straight to the Paradox Engine if you think you're safe enough. It's important to pay attention to your mana at that point, because sometimes you get you're stuck in a dead end if you just draw the engine naturally too early, and you can't cast it and then back it up with another spell. But if you're careful enough, it should work out for you.
Now that I'm remembering, the big difference between Tinker and Transmute Artifact, not that there aren't several big differences, but one of them is that if it gets countered, you don't lose the artifact you sacked, right?
Exactly.
Or you don't sack the artifact.
It's awesome. You only sack your artifact upon resolution. So you can... it kind of contributes to what I spoke about earlier about bullying blue decks, because you don't really lose that much if they counter it, because even if you've tapped your Monolith, that's important. You have to tap the Monolith you're sacrificing before Transmute Artifact resolves, because otherwise you won't get the chance to use the mana. But even if you do, you're floating three mana. It's easy enough to have another mana lying about. And guess what? You need six anyway total, so two from the mana value from monolith itself, 3 for tapping it, and the 1 extra, you already have 4 to untap the monolith, even if they counter Transmute Artifact. Another really awesome thing is how well Transmute Artifact plays around daze naturally. Because if they daze it on the front side, like before it's resolved, sorry, if they daze it, that's the only time they can daze it, you still get to transmute for something else. You can get Rink or Chaos Defiler, another recent addition that is so sweet. And if they don't daze, you get Drew, and then you have mana to do anything really.
Yeah, I think that's the other important thing, is that the Jewel actually makes mana.
The Jewel is awesome. It has a drawback, pretty big, two of them, really. 6 mana, upper right corner. 6 is a lot by Legacy standards. It's, in fact, one of the reasons why Mind's Desire kind of fizzled out for the most part, because 6 mana is just so unreasonable. But the Jewel does pay you back, draws you 3, and you can tap it for 3. And if you copy Artifact, you're going up 3 cards and 1 mana in the process. So it's once the deck starts going, it's kind of like Mississippi River, because it really doesn't stop. And it can establish this really robust endgame. That's Tony's. That was Tony's idea to use Emrakul as the win condition. It's really robust. It's a really small package. It's just 1 card because you're running the other cards anyway. And it has a couple added benefits. The main one being you get to humiliate Painter decks really, really badly. Sorry, Painter. I love you, but this is not the match for you.
Yeah. So, you know, you've got 4 One Rings, obviously, there to protect yourself and to draw cards. But you're also playing, this is a classic Tony Scipione build because it has a secondary plan. You're playing these Fable of the Mirror Breakers, which can just turn the game. If you want, you can turn around and start attacking.
Right. Tony had been trying Fables at some point, and recently I added them back to the deck because I was struggling with specifically Delver. And I wanted to have more action in the deck, like more real cards that they actually have to care about. And previously, that slot would have been Show and Tell. But Show and Tell is kind of easy for them to Pyroblast. If they counter it, you're stuck with the 6 mana cards. You can bluff it sometimes, but not really. And Fable is just perfect because it's a standalone threat. It accelerates you and it digs you towards Jewel or whatever piece you're missing with the second chapter. And then sometimes you just get to Kiki Jiki copy your Chaos Defiler, and let me tell you, rude. That thing slaps. Because if you Fable it, you get the ETB trigger, you then get to smack him for 5 at least. And then at 10th step, you have to sacrifice it so it triggers again. And honestly, if they survive that, kudos. They deserve that one. They get to have it.
I think also an interesting point is using Emrakul as your win condition here. It gets around Godic Teague, right? So you're just like, oh, I guess I'll just like... A lot of this deck gets around Godic Teague because you have the Transmute Artifact also that gets around that, right?
So Teague is... if you're paying attention in the matchup where Teague might be on the board, it's almost trivial to play around because it only stops 4 rings. Which, I mean, okay, that's not great, but you can transmute for those as well, for those two if you really need them. It stops your Force of Wills, but if you had a Force of Will in your hand, probably the Teak is not going to be in play, so exactly. By the time it's resolved, that doesn't really matter that much. And then, I mean, it stops their Green Sun Zenith. That happened to me recently in paper. That was awesome. So the Teak really bit them more than it bit me.
And Transmute Artifact is not X spell.
No, it's not X, and it doesn't cost 4 or more, so it just goes straight through. And if it really bothers you, you can just Chaos Defiler that thing away.
Yeah.
Like, that's the really cool thing about Defiler, is that sometimes you go off with this deck from a really low base with the Jewel, and you're stuck where you can copy it maybe 1 time, or you can transmute and get Defiler instead. And then you're up 3 cards, and then you get a really big threat, because 5/4 trample is actually pretty big. There's basically Murtaugh Regent is the only thing that's really outscales it. Well, I guess Troll of Khazad-dûm now as well, but okay, whatever, that's kind of a lame duck format question. But then you just pass the turn with your group full of cards, your board superiority, and you probably drawn a force if you haven't drawn enough things to to continue comboing off. So, kind of really
yeah.
cool.
And I see that in your sideboard, you're rocking a whole different plan. Still a combo.
Yeah, let me talk about this. So, I don't know how you feel about this format right now, but I think we are stuck in that space, like right before Ragavan finally gets banned or expressive iteration, you know, that kind of couple of months where it's, you know, it's fine. You can still play. The gameplay is fine, but it gets really, really lousy.
Bowmasters is what you're saying.
Totally, yeah. And Bowmaster is really extremely good versus the deck, but we do have a lot of play against it as well, because Phyrexian Metamorph actually copies it and kills it.
And you have the One Ring, you can just give yourself protection if you have to, and then go do the thing.
You have to draw a lot of cards before that thing kills you, you know. You can play through an Orcish Bowmaster a lot of the time. But you asked about the sideboard, and basically, the two toughest matchups for Jewel are sadly the two best decks in the format at the moment. That's Delver and the Riskaminator. And they've kind of compressed our sideboard options together really hard. At least from my experience, the only way to really like try to compete with Riskaminator is the Leyline of the Void, because anything else is just going to get griefed. You're not even get a chance to cast it. Yeah. And Leyline at least stops grief. I know that they board out the Entomb package a lot of the time, but it's really just about the grief at this point. Because if you can stop turn one grief, reanimate, or at least the reanimate on grief, then they're kind of spinning their wheels and not accomplishing much. And once you're running the Leyline of the Void, Helm of Obedience is kind of easy to include as well. So that's the combo you're talking about, Leyline and Helm.
Yeah, you basically have access to five Helm of Obediences after board.
Totally, and it's very, very important in that matchup specifically, because let's say you start with the lane, let's say you have a medium 7, you mulligan it, it already really sucks, but then at least your 6 is solid, you start with Leyline, they still grief you, because they're maniacs, just like you yeah. are, so they're going to grief you anyways.
Of course.
And so you've lost one card to the grief. You've lost on to the Leyline, so you're on 5 cards. It's really hard to start Jewel Link against them from a low base, because they still have the Daedalus Forces and Wastelands, right? But the nice thing about Transmute is you can transmute Grim Monolith directly into Helm and activate it. So it's really a one-card combo. It's a two-card combo, but you can mulligan for the Leyline, and then even from the top of the deck, Transmute is super life, even if you can't get to Jewel, you just get to kill them with it.
Yeah, they just can't let a transmute artifact exist on the stack if that happens, because the game is over at that point.
Right. Well, a lot of them don't know about it yet. I guess after this, they're gonna kind of.
We're not that popular, but it's certainly going to get the word out for sure.
Oh,
right?
I'm trying to educate them on my own as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So sometimes they just have the Orcish Bowmasters, and they're like, okay, they draw 3, but Bowmaster is going to punish them, and then I probably get the draw, so I'll let it resolve. And then you just calm them. It's awesome.
It's that that Kevin Hart meme, you going to learn today. This deck is so interesting. So why did you decide for this round of games to skew away from the, you said there were a couple of different versions. There was a Saga version. There was a Sea to Synod version. You decided to go with Fetch Lands, Surveil Lands, and Dual Lands.
So where this started for me was with Saga itself. I love Saga. Actually, Saga is one of the cards I've had most success in Legacy. I ran the tables at Bologna Four Seasons last year with Black Saga Storm, so I love Saga, absolutely. But if you look at the deck list, this isn't really a great Saga deck to begin with, because to include the targets, you'd have to start cutting things, and your tokens, they don't really get that big, because you're going to have like maybe a Petal if you don't use it, and maybe a Grim Monolith, so they're going to be 4/4s, you tutor something, 5. 5 is not that big in Legacy these days, because if you look at the decks, most of them are trying to cheat a fatty into play somehow real quick, like not most of them, but the hard matchups like the Over and Scam, they're wasteland, so your Saga isn't even secure. I don't think we've ever seen as much wasteland as right now, to be honest with you. I've seen Doomsday runs it now, So that's bad for Saga too.
Jeez, Doomsday's running around the wasteland.
I've seen some with Stifle in them too, which is just bonkers, but okay. And so I wasn't even winning many games when Saga is established. The tutor is actually extremely good because then you get to run Manifold Key, and Manifold Key is crazy in this deck, but it was not worth it for me if I'm not even, if it's not working because the alternate win conditions, what am I really trying to accomplish? So that was half of the reason. And then the other half was the printing of Chaos Defiler. Chaos Defiler is great in this deck. It's amazing. It answers Collector Oof. It answers Nurod. But you have to have the mana to cast it.
Yeah.
You can sometimes transmute for it under Oof or Nurod, but it's kind of hard, especially with the Nurod decks playing Wasteland. And I guess most of the Collector Oof decks too. So I decided to try a mana base that can actually support it. It's not perfect. It's skewed a little bit too far black right now, because I do still want to be able to even hard cast the Leyline of the Voids from the sideboard. So that's why you see an Underground Sea, an Undercity Sewers, and the Badlands in the deck. So to be able to hard cast Chaos Defilers, Leyline of the Voids, and the Fables. So once I was off like mono blue with Saga and I wanted Chaos Defiler, I started thinking about the Delver matchup and what do you want to do about it. And red enables Fable of the Mirror Breaker, which is really good in the matches too.
That's so a struggle with. I guess that informs your Relic of Sauron as a choice to play.
No. Relic is definitely in the deck if you're one color or if you've however many colors you are on, you should be running Relic of Sauron. It's great for a couple reasons. Like you said, it's it fixes the mana. That is true. It transmutes super cleanly because it costs 4 and it taps for double blue.
Perfect.
And there's a
that's
hidden
mana right
it,
there,
which is that is 6 mana right there, yeah. And there's a super, there's a like a hidden mode on the card, which is 3 mana. You draw 2 and discard 1. That lets you be Pitting Needle on the One Ring naturally, because if you establish Relic of Sauron with Paradox Engine, you can still draw through the deck. You're gonna have to click a couple hundred times more often, but you're gonna draw through the deck even through the Pitting Needle. So it means that you don't really have to force of will a Pitting Needle, which A is embarrassing to do, and B it kind of leaves you open for the Collector Wolf or whatever follows it up afterwards. So Redick is really good. I know it looks a bit wonky, but there's a lot of cards in this deck that look wonky. I should say that one of the disadvantages of this build is that we're down to 2 coveted jewel, because I've started viewing it more as a transmute target and less as a hard castable, but it is not that hard to hard cast. So if you have 4 of them, it's more likely, because all you need to do is turn one a Grim Monolith, and then on turn 2 if you have another land that's 6 mana, you can go for it. But I mean, there are the advantages and disadvantages to each list, and that's the approach I was taking, because like if we talk about metagame positioning for this deck, I think this list is the closest we can get to being to having like a fighting chance against Delver and Scam at the same time. Once Orcish Bowmaster or Grief leave the format, and we can readjust, of course. But at the moment, I think this is pretty close to how you want to attack those two matchups. Like, as I mentioned to you before, I beat Delver twice today, which Delver is actually harder than Scam for this. So I was pretty happy with that. So if we're trying to skew towards those two matchups, this is, like I said, the kind of list that I would like to run. Oh, we should mention 4 Preordain. Not all
I was
decks,
just about to ask. I was like, why are there 4 Preordain and not, like, say, Ponder?
So specifically, like, Ponder is kind of bad in this deck, because if you look at 3 cards and you kind of want to copy artifact to copy a jewel, but then the other 2 cards suck, so you're kind of damaging your jewel draw. I was running Brainstorm before this most recent swap back to Preordain, because it was Preordain before. Mm-hmm. And that was not stable enough, because I'm running 5 fetch lands, and you kind of don't want to fetch early because they are wasteland protection. So there was too much tension there, so I swapped back to Preordain. Preordain is great, because if you look at 2 cards, one of them is a copy artifact and the other one is not great. You just take the copy and put the other one back at the bottom of the deck, and you're golden. So Preordain is also good in those 2 matchups as well, because they get grindy, they get really tough, and a lot of War of Attrition. Preordain lets you find whatever you're missing. It's good. So if we get the list to a place where it's, let's say, close to 50-50 versus Delver and Scam, a lot of the other decks in the format are like slam dunk matchups for this. Anything running Ancient Tombs that's not this, like it's not the mirror, you're overwhelming favorite. Painter, you're going to crush almost automatically. Then there's lands, depths, those kind of fairish green decks you're really good against as well. And we are neglecting like Doomsday, Rhinos to a lesser, like Rhinos is kind of gone now, but Doomsday, Cephalid Breakfast. No, Cephalid Breakfast actually we cover with Layer of the Void, that's good. So we're like flipping a coin against Doomsday. We are trying our best to combat tempo. And almost every other deck in the format, like other show and tell decks, forget about it. Slow blue decks, even like I don't
Beanstalk
care how many
doesn't
force...
seem like it's got a lot of game against this.
No, not really. Like there are games where they establish Beanstalk before you are online. Sure, I mean you're not gonna win every game every time, but in general, it's I think very positive match. So that's how kind of how this deck list.
Run me through evolved. A perfect game, right? Your turn one. This can go off as early as what? Turn two.
This can go off turn. There might be like some crazy hand that goes turn one, but I'm not sure. But turn two is not unrealistic.
Run me through a turn two win.
I mean, I ideally want to start with a rink on one and go from there, because that involves like Ancient Tomb, Grim Monolith, Lotus Petal. But the nice thing about the ring is if you have to tap your monolith, you can't transmit the monolith, but you can transmit the ring fairly easily. It's going to draw you three cards and then go from there. And once you're transmuting for Jewel, you're kind of off to the races. So that's kind of how those go. You can turn one Fable. That's pretty strong too, because Fable is awesome. Because it generates artifacts. In a pinch, you can sack a treasure token to transmit the artifact. I've done it before.
Yep.
I'm not above that. It generates a lot of mana if it's left unchecked. And it even lets you loot to dig. But I'd say turn one rink with protection is like basically the nuts in this deck.
Okay. All right.
Previous versions were quicker. This is taking a more slower approach to be able to grind through blue, the tempo decks a bit better.
That makes sense. Yeah, this is a fascinating deck. Just I mean, so many different angles to play off of here. But I think the again, I like, you know, just to repeat myself, the coolest part here is that the storm of this deck is actually just playing Emrakul in ad infinitum, and then using that as a way to get around hate for things like if your opponent say has Leyline of Sanctity or something like that, or Gaddic Teague. It just like completely blanks their like normal I'm gonna play against Storm plan for cards that blank you out your entire deck. So it's a pretty interesting build.
Absolutely, yeah, it's great. It's extremely robust, and you do have to be careful because you are gonna take an extra turn with the ring probably on like 12 counters. So you do have to reset your ring, and you do have to be careful not to deck yourself. Sounds stupid, but it happened to me the other day on stream. I'm gonna admit it, I did it.
Yeah.
But if you're careful enough, you should be able to do it. Some other tricks that this deck manages really well is ring walking, because once you have one ring, you really have like 11 more rings between the three extra rings and the four, eight copy effect.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You get to ring walk a lot. And it's a very strong engine in and of itself. It's kind of funny how they named the card the one ring, but the only number of rings you're not supposed to run is one.
Yeah, it's true.
Never came up in playtesting, I guess.
we have a t-shirt that we made for the show that is the one ring, and it just says, cast it one time. You know, like Phil was like, if you cast this card one time, you're gonna realize this card's broken. You know, that'll be like somewhere, I'm sure. But that's one of my favorite T-shirts we made. We were just like, this card's ridiculous.
Totally, yeah. I'm not one of those sociopaths who want to get it banned in Legacy, but it is very strong, and
it's
maybe
a good card,
one day
yeah.
we have to ban it, but not at the moment.
Go on.
One more thing I wanted to mention, because we didn't really get into it. I talked about the four pillars and how Delver attacks the four pillars at the same time. Like they can counter your card advantage, they can wasteland you, they can force you, and they kill you basically on turn three. Not three, but four. I've died to Delver on four. It's important to play cards that also protect us on multiple axes. That's why like Fable of the Mirror Breaker is so good, or Phyrexian Metamorph can be so good. Same as the Ring, really. And so that's kind of the way how you're trying to combat that. I wanted to mention. And
also, an important thing is to mention is sometimes you can just do the Metamorph plan, you know? Like, sometimes a clone is just good enough in some situations. If your opponent's like, oh, I'll play an Atraxa, and you copy their Atraxa, you know, totally, that's sometimes just good enough.
It is sometimes good enough, especially if you can back it up with the Transmute Artifact, because guess what? Atraxa is an artifact that costs 7 mana.
Yeah.
The world is your oyster at that point. Like, if you copy it with Metamorph, it becomes an artifact. So.
Yeah, oof.
Yeah.
Wild. All right. Well,
one more thing.
Sorry. Oh, go on.
It's really important to mention that this deck burns through its own life total like nobody's business.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can expect to deal upwards of 10 damage to yourself easy in a game. So be careful about that.
Yeah. Well, Preslov, this was a super interesting deck. I really appreciate you coming on to share it with us. And I mean, hey, good luck in the next challenge you do, because this deck looks ridiculous.
Thank you very much for having me. If you don't mind, I'd like to shout out a couple of people.
Please do, yeah.
So Tony, I mentioned his name so many times. Everybody just definitely follow Tony if you like ridiculous combo decks like this one. That's exactly his jam. The whole of the Storm Discord is a great place for this. And then I'd like to shout out the European Legacy Masters and Four Seasons. They are really flying high the flag of Legacy in Europe. I am European, as you probably can tell. And then more locally to me, the Bottrop series is our monthly 1-ish, 2-ish K. We get regularly 70, 80, 90 people.
Oh, wow.
It's awesome.
That's amazing.
If you're close, come check it out.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh yeah, of course. No, I'm glad to have you on, man. If you guys got any value out of this video, go ahead, hit the like button, subscribe, all that stuff. If you want to support the channel, of course, you can join us at patreon.com/eternaldirtles. Until next time, everybody, thanks so much for watching. Before you go, I need some help. Please subscribe to this channel and do your part to help sustain the Legacy content ecosystem. Just subscribing to this channel goes a long way to reminding YouTube that people love and support this format. Now, if you really want to go the extra mile, you should think about supporting us through Patreon. Both the links for subscription and Patreon are right here. And if you're listening on an audio format, you can go to patreon.com/eternaldirtles. Thanks so much for watching.